Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Literature Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week in more than 112 countries over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the richest nation on earth when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and now they're banned from our national consciousness. And instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we now see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a very radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Now, are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? That's right, she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. And that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments. Let's go back to the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the benefits and penalties that go along with them. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to a law is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether you call this Mosaic Law, the law of God, the common law, the natural law, or karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which are the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Insurance is a bet. It's just like a casino. You're betting that something's going to happen and somebody else is taking the other side of a bet. The stock market is a bet. If you're putting in puts or shorts, it's just another way of taking odds on an event that may or may not transpire. And every gambler is trying his best to figure out how the dice are going to come down next roll, or how is the stock market going to behave tomorrow. And that's what we do with insurance. If we buy an insurance policy, we're saying, in effect, I don't want to take responsibility for the actions or for the events that may transpire. That's why you buy auto insurance. Now, you know that your chances of having an auto accident are very, very remote. If your chances of having an auto accident and getting killed were the same as getting a cold, you would stop driving, because you know for certain that you're going to get a cold. You don't know for certain that you're going to have an auto accident, and you don't know for certain that if you have the accident that you're going to get killed. So you're pretty cocky and confident, but you still buy the auto insurance because there's this innate fear. See, way back here in the back of your mind, oh my God, I was watching TV one night. This guy had an accident, cost $1 million. Well, if I had $1 million accident, it would wipe me out. So you say to yourself, I know what I'll do. I'll spend $500 and buy an auto insurance policy. I'm going to lose the $500 every year. Or in some cases, it's $5,000 a year. Depends on how good a driver you are. But whatever the premium is, that's the limit to your liability. And that's why insurance is called limited liability. It's the opposite of strict liability. Strict liability says you pay for it all. Strict liability is the common law rule that comes from Moses at Mount Sinai. God gave us the law. God gave us strict liability. Everybody pays for whatever damage he causes. And when you follow the strict liability doctrine or the strict liability rule, you have a whole lot less accidents. You'll have a whole lot more individual responsibility. And it pays for itself. There's no residual hangover or bankruptcy that comes from it. That's strict liability. Now, limited liability, that fosters carelessness. It fosters a sense of, well, I'm not responsible for my actions. So here in Missouri, we have a mandatory automobile policy. It means every driver has to have this auto insurance. You have to have you got a choice. I mean, we Americans are hot, you know, hot and heavy on choice. You can choose whichever company you want to buy it from, but you have to buy this particular product. I tried to get that through the Idaho legislature. I told them, I want you to pass a law that requires everybody to buy a waterbed and carry proof of waterbed ownership in his pocket or face, you know, a year in jail. And they thought I was nuts. I said, well, why is it that you're going to give this perk to the insurance industry? I'm not going to give it to the waterbed industry or to the carpet industry or to the auto industry or anybody else. I don't know, the legislators weren't getting paid off as well by us guys, I guess, as they were by the auto guys. But anyway, this limited liability thing over here, it has its drawbacks, because in this state we call it the Financial Responsibility Act. Financial Responsibility Act. And, you know, if you keep telling people that over and over again, they believe that insurance means financial responsibility. It doesn't. It means exactly the opposite. Let me give you an illustration. One day, I'm having dinner with the boys after work, and we're down at Jake's. You know, we're having a good time, and we're drinking a little. And my old buddy Colin said to me, he said, now, George, you are drunk, and you're too drunk to drive home. Better call a yellow cab. I mused it over, and I said, well, you're right about that, Colin. I'm drunk. But I'm not too drunk to drive home. I don't believe that. And my dilemma is that if I take a cab home, my pickup is down here. So that means I got to walk from home down here. I got to take a cab tomorrow morning down here to pick up my pickup, and I just didn't have it home so I can go to work. So I said, no, I think I'll just go ahead and drive on home. So I did. I got in my car. I told everybody at the table. I said, I don't think that I can cause $500,000 in damage in 16 blocks. That's how far I lived from Jake, 16 blocks. And I was right. I drove home, didn't hit anything, didn't cause any damage, and I had a $500,000 auto insurance policy. Yeah, that's right. My company insured, I think, 7 pickups and a couple of trucks, and we had this blanket $500,000 policy. Now, was that responsible? You know, some of you people said, my God, that guy was really irresponsible. Well, of course I was. I shifted my responsibility onto the insurance company. They're responsible, but you're fully covered. If I run into you and kill you, don't worry about a thing. Hey, you're fully insured, and I pay the premium. And that's to protect me, see? It's not to foster individual responsibility. Now, today I don't have any insurance. Now, I'm fully responsible. And if I go out and cause you a damage, I got to pay all of it. And if I don't pay it, well, then you're going to take all of my assets and all my toys. Now, here's another example. We're talking about this young woman, remember, that said what Americans need is national health care insurance. We've already got national auto insurance. We've got national retirement insurance. We call it Social Security in this country. And now we're talking about we got to have national socialized medicine, but we're not going to call it socialized medicine. We're going to call it national health care insurance. That's the path. See, you Englishmen, God, I love you. You people just call it national socialized medicine, don't you? Okay. Well, we're opposed to that socialism over here, you know. So we're not going to buy into that socialist crap. So we're going to call it national health care insurance. So if we change the names, it makes us all feel better. And we can be socialists and communists, and it'll make us feel like we're capitalists, you see. Now, the bottom line to this is when I was a kid, 1950, my knees went bad. I had one knee went bad once, and I had another one go bad, and the other one went bad a little while later. Now, I'm in pain. I'm limping around. My dad says, what's the matter with you? I don't know, Dad. My knee hurts. And so I'm limping around. I must have been limping around for a week. We didn't have any insurance. And a doctor's visit cost $5. And the doctor's name was Joe Walsh. There was two doctors in Eureka, California in 1950. Our doctor was Joe Walsh. When something went wrong, we went to Joe. And then his boy, young Joe Walsh, took over. This was old Doc Joe Walsh, 1950, but by 1955, it was the young Joe. And so I limped around here for a while until it became obvious that little Georgie is really in physical distress and really needs to go to the doctor to find out that he has water on the knee. I think that's what they call that, water on the knee. And I had to put it in a cast and kept it there. Now, before my dad would spend $5, we had to make sure that we couldn't treat it at home. We couldn't fix it at home. It was something beyond our capacity. We tried everything. I mean, they had me doing this and doing that and one thing and another, and they put this and that liniment on it and one thing, and nothing worked. And so we went to the doctor. Now, we spent the $5. All right, now, it was a little more than that because I put a cast on it, one thing or another. So that's the difference between health care insurance and strict liability. Now, today you have limited liability. You have already paid your insurance premium. And by God, I'm going to get my money's worth. So as soon as the kid comes in and he's sniffling, did I hear you sniff? Yes. Oh, jump in the car. We're going to run you down to the doctor right now. I mean, if this kid's got an earache, he's got a sniffle, you know, he's coughing or something like that, we rush him off to the pediatrician. And mainly it's because young women today are totally incompetent medically, totally incompetent. Health is just beyond them. I can't handle it. And so they rely upon the doctor. Furthermore, we all have health insurance. And by God, we're going to get our money's worth. And so insurance does not work that way. Let me explain how insurance works. You see, with that auto insurance policy, nobody wants to get involved in an auto accident. That we want to avoid. We work hard to avoid having auto accidents. Unpleasant, cost money, get hurt, you know, it's not a good thing. But just in case, we've paid our premium. So if 100 people pay their premiums in and one person has an accident, then you have the premiums from the other 99 people along with your premium, that's 100 premiums, to pay for the accident. Now, the average auto accident in the United States of America costs $1,835. That's the average cost of an accident. All accidents, million-dollar accidents and fender benders in the parking lot, average amount is $1,835. So it's around $2,000. Now, you're expected to have one accident every 32 years, statistically. Maybe you've had five, but that means that there were five other people that didn't have any, zero accidents. Now, the people that have no accidents at all, they pay their premiums in and get nothing back. And the person who pays his premium in and has an accident, he wins. It's like the crap table. You know, you throw the dice, wow, I made a pass, pay me. Okay, so you're the winner and you get paid. Now, the house has to get paid, and they take a percentage of all the premiums that go in, less all of the payments that go out. See, when you're playing on a crap table, you know, some people win. Every time somebody throws the dice, somebody wins, and everybody else loses. See how that works? You have 10 people around a crap table. Somebody picks up the dice, and they throw them. One of those 10 people are going to win, and 9 of them are going to lose. Now, the guy that wins usually wins more than he bet. You know, if you bet $5, he might win 25, 30. I mean, you know, if you're betting on the field and you put your $5 on 12 and you throw a 12, you get 30 to 1. Okay, well, every time the house has to pay off 30 to 1, you know, there has to be 30 other people out there that put their money on the table and didn't win. That's the house percentage. Now, that's what we call the commission. See, the commission. You know, the insurance agent has to get paid his commission and his residuals and the bonuses. And the insurance company, you know, they got to pay the secretaries and the computer operators, and they got to buy and pay for those big buildings and one thing another. It's all overhead, and it all has to be paid for, and it's paid for out of your premiums. Now, there's two types of insurance that don't lend themselves well to events that don't lend themselves well to insurance, and that is retirement, Social Security, and health insurance. And that's because everybody wants to go to the doctor and everybody wants to retire. So under the Social Security program over here, it's an insurance program. They don't call it insurance, they call it assurance, but it's a Ponzi scheme is what it is. It's a gamble. You know, you can pay your money in, maybe you get paid, maybe you don't. And so far, they've been paying off like a slot machine, but they keep raising the rates. And now the thing is going to go bankrupt in 2032. So you people that are collecting today, sit back and relax. You're going to collect yours. But off into the future, you see, you people that are paying in today are not going to collect anything at all. And that's because it's mathematically impossible. There's not enough there. So there's two things that we can do to offset that inevitable day of reckoning over there. We can keep raising the premium rate, and we can keep inflating the currency. You see, we're taking in 100 cent dollars today and paying out 90 cent dollars tomorrow. So that gives us a 10% spread, and that's what government's doing. They're inflating the currency, and it helps them pay their bills. And if they keep it at a reasonable rate, you know, 3, 4, 5% a year, you people never catch on. Well, you ain't caught on yet. You don't catch on until it gets up around 10, 12, 15% like it did in 79, 80, 81, along in there. Oh, God, everybody's screaming bloody murder, you know, about inflation. And I mentioned to you, I think, last time that food prices here in the United States have gone up 69% over the past year. We've never seen anything like that in this country, kids. At least I haven't. I'm 70 years old now, and I haven't seen anything like that. Now, that's inflation, and it's cause. There's a cause and effect relationship that goes along with it. So that's why this health insurance that this lady says, the richest nation on earth and every American has a right to health insurance, it used to work. Our health program, our health system in America used to work when we practiced strict liability. But then we got off onto limited liability. Insurance company said, well, let's sell health insurance. And so they did. And they found out that health insurance grows by leaps and bounds. And to give you a disconnect, they had your employer pay the health insurance for it. Now, all sickness and disease comes from two sources. It's either one, you're starving, or two, you're being poisoned, or a combination of the two. Now, if you're sick, and most of you people are, in fact, in America, 99% of us are sick. In 1917, 40% of us were sick, 60% were symptom-free. Today, 99% of us Americans, we have a symptom. You know, we wear glasses, we need a hearing aid, we have allergies, we have diabetes. You know, there's something wrong with us. 99 out of 100. Americans have something wrong with them. As a result of that, we need more health insurance because, you know, these doctors are expensive. And because of that expense, we want to share the liability. See, what we want is somebody else to pay the bill. That's what insurance is all about. Insurance is about my irresponsible behavior and somebody else paying for it. Bottom line, that's what insurance is. Insurance is somebody else paying for my irresponsible behavior. Now, I don't have any health insurance. I don't want any. I don't need any. I don't want to pay for yours. I'm selfish, totally. Now, the reason for that is that I practice the Ten Commandments, and you practice the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. And if you're going to practice the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto, you need health insurance. I don't deny it. I don't deny it. If you're going to eat fat, blood, pig, white sugar, white flour, you need health insurance. Just no two ways about it. And that's because you are going to get sick. Sometimes when I say that, people, they kind of gasp, like Judy Hartson. They don't go, and I'm going to go tell Mr. Witt, but they gasp, how can this guy be so cocky? Well, get your pen and paper out here, boys and girls. Let me tell you why it is I can become this cocky. In Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus chapter 26, and then a couple, three scriptures in Exodus 23, those three sources. It's Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, and Leviticus 23. Excuse me, Exodus 23. In those three chapters, there are benefits that you get for practicing the Ten Commandments. And sometimes, I got a letter from a guy not too long ago. He wrote me a letter. He said, you know, Gordon, you were all right until you got off on this religious crap. I guess when I'm talking about George Bush and the war in Iraq, I'm all right. But if I were to say that the reason that we're having a war in Iraq is because you people voted in George Bush, I say you people voted him in. I didn't vote for George. Nice guy and all. And I just thought that maybe George probably wasn't up to the job. I didn't think Al was up to the job either, so I didn't vote for Al either. I've never voted for a winner in an election. I always vote for the losers. And then I got discouraged and said, well, hell, there's no point voting for losers. But I just wanted to point out to you that going back here, taking a look here at the Bible and getting the letters that I get in here, you know, the Ten Commandments is the philosophy of law. It's the legal principles. It's the economic principles of the Ten Commandments. It's the social principles of the Ten Commandments in opposition to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. See, the Ten Commandments deal with property and property rights, and the Communist Manifesto is the exact opposite. It does away with property and property rights. I mean, these two philosophies, political philosophies, are exact opposites and loggerheads with one another. I didn't make the Ten Commandments. I'm not smart enough to think that up. I wish I was. Hell, I was around here a long time before I ever got on the scene. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Now, I got to tell you, boys, if there's anything better than adultery, God kept it for himself. I don't deny that. You know, there's just something about, you know, dinging somebody else's whole lady that's kind of exciting. Makes the adrenaline flow. But, you know, sometimes you get caught. And, you know, if you get caught, you know, sometimes these guys, they get upset and they want to beat the hell out of you at the very least. And sometimes they want to kill you. That's what makes the adrenaline flow. So God, looking at that years and years ago, said, you know, as my old granny used to say, they ain't a house built wide enough for two women. They ain't one woman that's one wife that's built wide enough for two men. And so it makes other men very, very upset and jealous. And same thing with theft. You know, thou shalt not steal. Theft's a wonderful program as long as you're doing the stealing. It's when somebody's stealing from you. You ever notice when somebody steals from you, how mad you get? God, I just get livid. I go ballistic. I bounce off the walls, jump off the ceiling. I'm just ranting and raving and jumping up and down. That dirty, no good, low down so-and-so stole from. Now, if I'm stealing from somebody else, that's just sport. That's just fun, you know, just having a good time. So God, he took a look at that and he said, well, you know, we got to have a law to protect people's property, because if we don't do that, you know, it's going to cause hard feelings. So he came up with this idea, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, things like that. All right, now, I said, I don't want insurance, and here's why. I said, in order for you to get sick, you got to break a law. You got to go out here and do something. You got to get up in the morning. You got to get out of bed, get dressed, go out and do something to get yourself or make yourself sick. Now listen to this. You will be blessed in everything you do. You shall lend, but not borrow. I will take sickness away from you. 70 years, all of your days will be fulfilled. You shall gain great wealth, multiplied gold and silver, herds and flocks. All right, let's just stop right there. There's four statutes. Now let's take a look at each one of these one at a time. I practice strict liability. Because I practice strict liability and the Ten Commandments, I don't get sick. And it fulfills a clause in a contract that I have with my Creator. See, most of you people evolved from green slime. I'm a little different. A guy made me. I'm a designed creature. And because I was designed and created, this guy built into my body a fuel system. And I have to eat in order to maintain my body's vitality. I have to have fuel. We call it food. When we put it in the gas tank, we call it gasoline. When we put it in the diesel truck, we call it diesel. It won't run without it. You got to have a heat source. You got to have something to warm up the motor here and get it running. All right, so we call it food. Now, not all fuel is fit for human consumption. So this God came along and said, hey, dummy, come here. Let me explain this to you. Don't eat fat. And there's two statutes that say you shall eat no manner of fat. And he said that don't eat blood. And he said that's the life of the critter is in the blood. Don't eat that. It's bad for you. And he said don't eat pig. Now, there's a bunch of other things we're not supposed to eat, too, but let's just take those three, fat, blood, and pig. Now, here in America, we're big, big fat eaters, 30% fat in the hamburger, 40% fat in the Oscar Mayer weenies, and fat and blood. Now, the blood, now, we do follow that law in this country pretty well, although we do have blood sausage, and then, of course, we have questionable bleeding practices in our slaughterhouses. And then pig, don't eat pig. In this country, we have Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage. And I got to tell you, fellas, look, If God made anything better than a pig to eat, he kept it for himself. I don't deny it. But just because pig tastes good doesn't mean that it's good for you. Now, you know, diesel's good fuel, but stick it into your Ford LTD and see how it runs. Test it. And I think that you're going to have a smoky car that doesn't start good, and you just got all kinds of problems with it. You can make it work. Now, trust me, my old Uncle Otto, he made his work. And you can burn stove oil in an automobile if you rig it up right. But it doesn't run very good, doesn't run very efficiently, but, you know, in a pinch. Now, the reason that I don't want to practice health insurance is because under the terms of our contract, this is a contract that was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai back about, you know, 84 generations back. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, 84 generations back, made a deal with the Creator, God, and he said, all that the Eternal said, we'll do and be obedient. Now, he didn't do that, and none of my generations in between did it, but I woke up one day and said, I wonder what would happen if I did that. What would happen if I quit eating pig? What would happen if I didn't eat fat? And here's what happened. You know all that artery clogging plaque and cholesterol that you got in your arteries over there that you're taking Plavosil to protect yourself from? Listen, it just melts away, it just disappears. So your body won't tolerate that plaque in your arteries. You have to continually keep eating that crap and keep plugging them up and plugging and plugging and plugging. Otherwise, your body will dissipate it naturally, normally, just by eating, you know, relatively good food, reasonably good food. Well, I took on the challenge, and so I said, this is what I want, and this is what I've got. And so I thought I'd share it with you. Here he says in Exodus 23, verse 25, write this down, check me out, see if I'm lying to you. Nothing religious about this. There's anything religious about Exodus 23, 25. This is a health statute. This just has to do with health insurance. You people want national health insurance? Hey, listen, here's the best national health insurance plan you can get. It's called Exodus 23, 25. Under the terms of the contract, he says, I will take sickness away from you. You can't have it. I'll take it away from you. I'll lay it on somebody else. I'll give it to the Egyptians and the Russians and all these other guys, but I won't let it happen to you if you practice my law. And Jesus, remember, he made this observation one time. He says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here's my observation. You pig-eating Christians out there, eat pig. And then you go down and then you suck up a lot of fat from McDonald's by eating their Big Macs. You plug up your arteries, and it kills 750,000 Americans every year from heart disease. Well, I don't blame you for wanting to get national health care insurance. It costs $100,000 to get one of these Roto-Rooter jobs, you know, bypass surgery, things like that. That's expensive. I don't blame you for wanting to get somebody else to pay the bill. Hell, if I was still eating pig, I'd want somebody else to pay the bill, somebody like you. Hell, I don't want to fork over $100,000 to have bypass surgery. I want you to pay it. You and a lot of other guys. I'd want to buy health insurance, too. So, since I quit eating pig, quit eating fat, quit eating blood, and, you know, white sugar and a couple other things, now I have pretty good health. I'm pushing 70, and I'm wearing glasses, I don't have a hearing aid, and I don't have allergies, and I can put in a pretty good day's work. Not as good as I was when I was 30, I got to concede. I had to come in last night at 5 o'clock. I put in about 8 hours yesterday, but I was tired out. I put in 15 railroad ties yesterday, Bill McCorrell. I put in 15 railroad ties yesterday with my boy. I tuckered out at the end of the day. Now, when I was 30 years old, I could have put in those 15 railroad ties by myself. I'd have been tired, but I don't think I'd have been tuckered. So when you get old, now, I got to tell you, even if you eat good, you're not going to have the energy and vitality you had when you were 30, but I ain't running around with a walker and a cane, and I'm not in a wheelchair, you know, having somebody, you know, wheel me around to Walmart, you know, riding around in an electric car. I can walk all the way from one end of Walmart to the other, all 3 acres of it. All right, now, I got to give you a reminder here before I forget. I'm going to get the FCC and a bunch of other bureaucrats on me. You got to do your thing here, you know, and otherwise they send you letters and you get nasty and rude. The Law Hour that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in more than 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio worldwide. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, that's 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log, schedule, and archives. And all of that can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the law or an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners, and these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors and publications that we endorse will reciprocate. You should keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed now by the Law Hour and editorial review either. However, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, or mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, back to the richest nation on earth. Remember, I was telling you about this young lady. She was on the Lair News Hour last week, and she said that it's every American's right to have health insurance, and that we need it, and we ought to have it, and we're the richest nation in the world, and I've been pointing out to you that America is not the richest nation in the world. We're upside down. We're bankrupt, and our government's lying to us. And then on top of that, I thought I'd tell you the reason I don't want health insurance is because I got a better program. I got a better program. I don't want to pay for yours. I'm just selfish. I'm a pig. I don't deny it. Now, the same God said, you'll be blessed in everything you do. That is a hell of a benefit. You'll be blessed in everything you do. I'm a general contractor. What that says is every time you put out a bid, it'll make money. Every time you take on a job, it'll turn out right. That's the kind of deal I like. Now, he says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You'll be blessed in everything that you do. I like that. That's in Deuteronomy 28, verse 6, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. Sickness and disease is not a blessing, it's a curse. And John McCain the other day, you know, John McCain was on TV, and he was asked about Hurricane Katrina, and he was talking about an endorsement that he got. And there was a guy down in Texas somewhere, some religious guy, some preacher, endorsed John McCain for president. And somebody pointed out that this preacher down there had said that Hurricane Katrina was a curse sent by God to punish all you people down in New Orleans and along the Gulf Coast, you see. Now, I don't remember this preacher's name. He's a famous preacher in San Antonio, and he's got 1,600 people in his church, and his name's right on the tip of my tongue. I can't tell you who it is, but Hagee, that's who it is, Hagee, whatever his first name is, that slips my mind. But anyway, and so he endorsed John McCain, and guess what? McCain said, well, you know, just because this guy endorsed me doesn't mean I believe that. That's just plain preposterous. McCain said that Hurricane Katrina was just preposterous to think that it was sent by God to punish those people. I guess it's politically incorrect because your mayor down there said the same thing here a couple of years ago. I've said that over the air. That's what I think. I think Hagee's right, and I ain't even religious. I think he's right, and I think Mayor Nagin was right when he said, you know, it looks like this Hurricane Katrina was sent by God. It was a punishment. The reason I say that is because in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, this God in the Bible, this unpopular God, you know, this God that isn't kind and gentle, that I've reported on a number of times, that's what he says. He says it's a curse. And he uses terms like, if you will not yet for all of this hearken unto me, then I'm going to punish you seven times more for your sins. You see, the Christians, they don't believe God punishes anybody. They're always under grace, perpetual grace. That's what they're selling out there. And the idea that this God over here would punish somebody because of their wickedness is just beyond religious people. That's why I'm not one of them. I'm not one of those religious people. I think that this God does that. He's kind of mean and ornery all over, like a junkyard dog. And if you get crosswise with him, he's going to be like my old man. My old dad, you know, he wasn't kind and gentle. You know, when he told me to take out the garbage, make the bed, mow the grass, and I didn't do it, he didn't get real kind and gentle. He wasn't very forgiving. Just beat the living hell out of me. And that's what these curses are. Now, if you don't want these curses, you see, you just sit down, shut up, fold your hands, do what you're told. Mow the grass, take out the garbage, wash the dishes, do what you're told. Things work out pretty good. Now, a couple, three things that he told us concerning health is, he said, don't eat pig, don't eat fat, don't eat blood. And so I quit doing that. I don't get sick. I'm in great health. Everything's going along great. Everything's fine. So I said, well, now that I've given up pig, why would I want to give up money and pay for health insurance? And here's my thinking. See, when we buy insurance, we all know that most of us are never going to collect on it. Because, you know, if all of us collect on it, there won't be enough money in the pot, like Social Security. That's why that thing's a Ponzi scheme and it's upside down again. Because everybody collects out of Social Security. That's why insurance with retirement doesn't work, because everybody wants to collect it. That's why it won't work with health, because everybody wants to go to the doctor. Well, everybody but me. And the reason I don't want to go to the doctor is because, God, those guys are expensive. I mean, they cost a lot of money. Well, you know, these big hospitals and doctors, and, you know, they drive pretty fancy cars. When you take a look at their lifestyle and the amount of money that they're making and the costs, you know, that go into it, I can understand why we have to have $12,000 a year in health care premiums to pay for your health care insurance. And that's why it doesn't work, because everybody wants to collect on it. Unlike auto insurance, nobody wants to have a wreck. So once in a while, when a wreck happens, there's plenty of money in the pot, and the insurance company's making plenty of money. That's why they're raising your rates. I mean, you people are overindulging here on health insurance. All right, there was a couple, three more in here I wanted to tell you about. Blessed in everything that you do. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. Now, he says that you shall lend but not borrow. That's number 26 here. Let me get to number 26. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. Write that down. You shall lend but not borrow. God, that's a very valuable benefit. That's a moneymaker. It doesn't have anything to do with religion. There isn't a preacher in America that's preaching or is teaching in their churches these statutes from the Bible, these laws from the Scripture. I mean, it'll be a cold day in hell before you ever hear a Christian preacher get up in the pulpit and tell you, you shall lend but not borrow, if you'll quit using unjust weights and balances and go back to gold and silver like our founding fathers and God told us to do out at Mount Sinai. The worst enemy of the Bible is the Christian preacher. And in case you think you didn't hear that right, let me repeat that. The worst enemy of the Bible and of this thought is the Christian preacher. All right, got that straight? Now, you can take that one to the bank and quote me on that one. Now, here's another one. You're entitled to 70 years of life. Now, I hear these health guys all the time saying, you know, if you'll take our elixir and do my colon detox over here, you should live to be 140. That's poppycock. Poppycock. Let me tell you how long you can live. You got it right from God himself. He said, 70 years, all your days will be fulfilled. Now, that's in Exodus 23, verse 26. Write it down. Exodus 23, verse 26. If you die before you're 70 years old, you got a wrongful death action against God himself. Got that? Wrongful death. Sue him. He says he'll pay. Now, I'm not too sure that you're going to get a wrongful death action on him. Now, John the Baptist and Jesus could make that claim. See, both of them died before they were 70 years old. Name one other. Name them. And a lot of times I say, I do this in class quite often. You know, I've got a bunch of kids here in class, and I'll say, now, nobody in the Bible, nobody in the Scripture who practiced the Ten Commandments ever died before he was 70 years old. And right away they say, well, what about Stephen? Well, how in the hell do you know how old he was when he died? It doesn't say. And they'll cite the Apostle Paul. How old was the Apostle Paul when he died? When was he born? When did he die? Send me an email. Let me know. I've been curious about his age for a long time. Now, we do know that John the Baptist died before he was 70 years old. He died before the Messiah. He was born 6 months before the Messiah. So, now we know that John the Baptist and Jesus both died before they were 70 years old. Both of them practiced the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said of John the Baptist, he said, hey, listen, there's none born among women. There's nobody, there's no greater born among women than John the Baptist. Now, you know, there's a lot of guys in the Bible, and they were pretty old guys, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All those guys were pretty old. They all practiced these Ten Commandments. They all got filthy rich. That was the thing I really liked about the Ten Commandments. As a business model, I can tell you as a general contractor, a plumbing contractor, I can tell you as a boiler and heating contractor, as a manufacturer, as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, as a real estate entrepreneur, I have never found a better business model than the Ten Commandments. And I was a practicing communist until I was 37. So, you know, if you want to write me a letter and tell me about how good communism is, hell, I already tested that program out. Want to tell me about banks and stocks and bonds? I tested it all. It didn't work for me when I tried it. It ain't working for you now, partner. I can prophesy. If there's one thing that I can predict, is that communism isn't working well for you right now. That's why Americans and Canadians and Australians, all of us Israelites over here, are struggling with inflation. We can't count. That's why we're just hanging on by a thread, pin, an arm and a leg for our national health care insurance. That's all the rest of you guys. We ain't quite got it all over here in America yet. But you Australians and Canadians and you Englishmen, you've got national health care insurance. We call it socialized medicine over here. We didn't learn anything from you guys and your mistakes. Americans just dumb as a box of rocks. You know, you'd think we'd be able to figure this out. Hell, it didn't work for the English. Why would it work for us? And so we're sitting over here saying, well, we want to pass this debt on to somebody else. All right, now, remember in Deuteronomy 28:8, you'll be blessed in everything you do. I'll take sickness away from you. All right, here's Exodus 21. Got this down? Take this down. Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. This is the strict liability statute. It's this statute right here that prohibits insurance. And when you go to public school, they teach you insurance. John McCain wants to give you insurance. John McCain wants to give you people insurance. And, of course, Hillary and Barack, they both want to give you insurance, national health care insurance. All three of these presidential candidates are criminals who are inducing all of us to criminal behavior. They want us to violate Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36, so that we'll lose our benefits. Now, how long should you live? The answer is 70 years, and the answer is found in Exodus 23, 26. 70 years, all your days will be fulfilled. Guaranteed, you're going to get 70 years. That's 25,550 days. Test it. Take 365 times 70, 25,550. Now, right as I speak, I'm 69. I'm pushing 70, see. I am not going to die until I'm 70 years old, as long as I practice this law. Now, let me tell you something here. If I die before I'm 70 years old, you can quote me on this. George Gordon was a lying hypocrite and was not practicing the Ten Commandments. George Gordon lied to him. If I die before I'm 70. And the reason I'm that cocky is because I can read the terms and conditions of the contract. I can code plead. I can read. I couldn't read till I was 37. Couldn't count until I was 37. And then I had this epiphany, this revelation. I learned how to read. I learned how to count. And ain't been the same since. And then I quit practicing communism, gave it up in cold turkey. It's like I quit smoking cold turkey. I quit communism cold turkey too. And that's why I kind of recommend that here on this program. I'm not here trying to get you to join the Catholic Church, not trying to get you to give your heart to Jesus and come down the Sawdust Trail. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the hell it's going to do for you. Once in a while, somebody knocks on my door and say, "Do you know Jesus?" I always ask him if he lives in the neighborhood. "And have you been, are you saved?" They don't say, "Have you been saved?" Past tense. They ask, "Are you saved?" Present perfect tense, I guess. Is that what that is? Are you saved? I don't know what these people are talking about. You know, if I was out in the water yelling at you, "Hey, help, help, I'm drowning." And would you rush up to the bank and say, "Are you saved, brother?" "Hell no, you fool, throw me a rope. I'm drowning. If I was saved, now throw me the rope. Hold on to one end, would you? Now pull me in, could you? Now you pull me in. And would you ask me, are you saved? Hell, you can see I'm saved. Can't you?" I don't know. I don't understand all these religious terms. I listen to religious people all the time. I can understand you guys writing me a letter and saying, "Hey, Gordon, you know, you're all right until you got off on religion." Listen, the religious guys don't teach the Ten Commandments. They teach communism in their churches. They teach crime. They teach criminal behavior. They teach you to buy insurance, which violates Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. They teach you to practice limited liability instead of strict liability. That's what preachers teach. Well, at least all the ones that I've seen, heard. I mean, there could be, I got to always apologize to you five or six Christian preachers out there that are actually teaching the Ten Commandments and the laws of God. They're rare as hen's teeth, but there are some Christians out there that are actually teaching the law of God. And that's why I keep asking you guys, why do you call yourselves Christians? I mean, there's five or six preachers out there that are actually teaching the law of God, and they call themselves Christians. I mean, that's like walking down Times Square, you know, you ladies, and say, "I'm a whore." Why would you call yourself a whore if, in fact, you're a virgin? I mean, come on, girls. It is true here in this country. Most of the women in this country are sexually loose. I say most. 10% aren't. 90% are. And then somebody's going to write me a letter, and they're going to say, "Why are you picking on women again?" Well, 90% of the men are sexually loose. Wouldn't it be a kind of a wild new idea if we were to suggest thou shalt not commit adultery and don't practice fornication? What if we had 23-year-old college girls and boys graduating from college and who were still virgins? You know, and I know that's crazy, but I just thought I'd throw it out. Because that's what the Bible teaches. And that's why it's as popular as AIDS at an office Christmas party. There isn't anybody out here that wants to practice this. That's why I just wanted to throw it out and tell you why it is that I don't want national health care insurance. Now, the other day I mentioned to you that the government's lying to you. I happen to get a little paper in here on shadowstats.com. Write this one down. It's called www.shadowstats.com. I want to leave you with this one. You see, we get the official, and these are called the government statistics that come out. The official CPI, that's consumer price index. The official unemployment rate, you know, 5.1%. Well, there's truth out there, see. There's the government lies, and then there's some truth out there. Well, this outfit called Shadow Government Statistics, they actually print the actual numbers. And so I wanted to give you this. The annual money supply growth, it's called M3. Remember, they quit publishing M3? They don't want you to know what it is. That doesn't mean you can't calculate it. It just means they're not going to tell you, and you're going to have to go find it for yourself. It's 17% as I speak. This is April 2008, as I speak at this date. Ben Bernanke and company is inflating the M3 money supply by 17%. 18 months from now, you're going to have 17% inflation, 17% price increases, 17% higher gasoline prices, 17% higher fuel prices coming in 18 months. 18 months ago, they were inflating at the rate of 12 to 15%. Right now, as I speak, it's 17%. Last year, I think it was 15. The year before, it was 12. Okay, here's the official unemployment rate in the United States right now, today, is 13%. That's the actual unemployment rate. Shadowstats.com. Here's the GDP annual growth. Okay. Remember how the president says the economy is sound and growing every year? All right. Here was the last time that you had growth in your economy. It was in the first quarter of 2004. Well, the first time since the first quarter of 2000. In the first quarter of 2000, the economy went to zero growth, then dropped to 3% minus growth, then crawled back up to the first quarter of 2004 to 0.25% growth, and then dropped below the zero line. I lied to you the other day. I said there hasn't been any growth in the economy since 2000. Well, I made a mistake. There was one quarter of growth. It was the first quarter of the year 2004 when you had approximately 0.25% growth in that 90-day period. All the rest of the time, from the first quarter of 2000 until I speak to you today, there's no growth in the economy. I've been lying to you. Here's another one. Annual consumer inflation. Here's your annual inflation. You can get this from shadowstats.com. First quarter of 1994, 6%. Second quarter of 2002, 8%. Second quarter of 2005, 10%. Fourth quarter of 2006, 9%. First quarter of 2008, 12%. As I speak to you, it's 15%. This is, excuse me, first quarter 2000. As I speak to you, it's 12%. 12%. Get that number right. Coming up to 17% because that's the M3 growth. See, we got one more chart here I got to share with you. They got one on trade-weighted dollars, and I couldn't understand it, so I'm not going to report it to you. I don't know what the hell it means. I don't know what a trade-weighted dollar is. Here's your alternate CPI measure. Consumer price index. Your consumer price index right now is running at, as I speak, 7%. Now, that's the overall consumer price index, 7%. Now, food is up 69% over the last year. I just reported that to you yesterday. That's a shocker. And, of course, you know about gasoline and diesel and, you know, a few other things that you're out in the marketplace buying. You know what those numbers are. Well, overall, it's around 7%, a little over 7%. But it's on its way up to 17%. Now, the price of gasoline, last time I heard in England, $9.70. Price of diesel fuel in England, $10.40. The price of gasoline, last time I heard in Zimbabwe, $237,000 a gallon. $237,000 per gallon. I had a guy in class last week, put a $10 million Zimbabwe note right in my grubby little hand. I always wanted to be a millionaire, and there it was. I was holding $10 million in my hand. And in 1980, the Zimbabwe dollar was equal to the United States dollar, 1980. See what happened in 28 years? All right, boys and girls, wake up. Pay attention. America is not the richest nation in the world. We as a nation, Americans, are flat-assed broke. Bottom line, broke. So vote, and let's have national healthcare insurance. All right, we're out of time, kids. We got to leave it right there. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily over both radio and the Internet. Now, for more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.